What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, managing editor, Fightful.com, FightfulSelect.com. It's time for the Q&A show. Second week of January. So it seems like it's been forever because Christmas week we didn't get a lot of questions, which is really uncharacteristic. Usually I'm answering at least 70, 80 questions, but we didn't get that many. I rolled it into the Fightful report because of holiday weekend. Thank you guys for being understanding. That was the most amount of time I've had off since I've covered pro wrestling full-time. So the most time I've had off since 2013, and it was like 2 or 3 days. I want to thank you all so much for being understanding. Not only that, but this subscriber drive we've had going. Triple figures. We dipped below because of the turn of the month, and now we're back up at it. Thank you guys so much. I can't tell you how much that means that you guys are willing to subscribe to us. I'll expand on that in the Fightful report before I get too sentimental, but let's go ahead and get into these Q&A questions. There's lots too, because I posted it up twice. I know that some of you kind of missed the first Q&A field, so I figured why not do it again. We've got retro reviews up, and I'm pretty sure that some of the $50 tier members are their shows are due soon, or at least the filming of their shows. So we're gonna have a lot more stuff like that. Keep your eyes out. I know that Simon Willis has said that he would like his show always to be that Q&A booking podcast, and I had a blast doing that with him. So keep your eye on that if you don't mind. Let's go ahead and get into these questions. When and where do you think Kenny Omega will officially sign a contract with a promotion? I think officially after January, because he's under contract to New Japan Pro Wrestling. Where? I think All Elite Wrestling. If they can afford Neville and they can afford Chris Jericho and they can afford to pay the women as much as the men, I'm going to assume that he's going to end up in All Elite Wrestling. I don't have any quote-unquote exclusive. I don't have anything like that on Kenny Omega. I assume he's going there. Who would you book as the winner of the men's and women's Royal Rumble match? Becky Lynch. Probably Seth Rollins. I think that's the way that you should go. I'd probably go Seth Rollins versus Braun Strowman or Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar. I don't know if I would want Brock Lesnar in a title match at WrestleMania again, but yuck, man. The Becky thing, that's confusing. She seemed poised to win the Royal Rumble, but it seems over the last several years that the Royal Rumble winner has played second fiddle with the exception of Daniel Bryan. And Triple H, whenever it is that he actually won the title at the Royal Rumble. But yeah, other than that, they've had a lot of those guys playing second fiddle. Can the Elite style video narratives translate to a full AEW show, or do you think full shows will be more traditional in their approach? I know it's an AEW question, but it's a creative one. Yeah, I mean, I think it can. I think that the video, the method that they take can translate really well to an hour or an hour and a half or 2 hours, whatever they have. I mean, you would almost assume an hour. They're used to the Ring of Honor approach, which is an hour. Not everybody's on every week, all that. But if you supplement that with BTE, you can get everybody on screen way more often. The thing you have to wonder is, who will be booked to do what? And I think that will be important. And I think the comedic nature of their show has to still be in effect, because I mean, that's what got so many people over. Even though it was storyline, we saw their personalities. We saw their real personalities. We saw what kind of creativity these guys had. And that's important in pro wrestling. People connect to the person behind the character as much as the character sometimes. Put into words how big of a deal it would be if Omega shocks us and signed with WWE and not AEW. Will it be a huge blow to AEW? If they have a chance at getting Omega and they don't, and WWE does, that would be pretty brutal for them. For WWE, it would be really huge, but as we've seen, they can marginalize anybody. I mean, anybody who's on TV enough and long enough has the chance of being marginalized in the eyes of wrestling fans. But it would be huge. It would definitely be huge because Kenny Omega is a once-in-a-generation talent. He's got a unique kind of charisma. He's an amazing performer in the ring. I don't know. Another question, WWE or AEW? I think he's going to AEW. Have you heard any surprises for the Royal Rumble, Women's Royal Rumble? I haven't heard of the surprises, just that in the last week of December that they were working on a quote-unquote big one. I don't know what that means, just that they were working on a quote-unquote big one. I read that Riddle beat Cole in the Weekend House Show. Do you foresee that being a program for Riddle after the Ono feud is completed? Or do you think they'll save that further down the line, considering how new to NXT Riddle is? Sometimes I think they bring up guys way too slow in NXT. You should really have an extra match, I think. Maybe a sixth match. I know that the five works really well for them. But when Matt wasn't on that first NXT TakeOver, I was bummed. And as of now, I don't know if he's set for Phoenix here in a couple weeks, but he should be. You need to get some of your top guys out there on big weekends like that. And I know that they do their thing where they have them still perform at the arena and they're on NXT the next week. And I like that method. It's really nice. But, whoo boy. The Cole, or rather Undisputed Era and Riddle feud could be good. Because, man, Matt Riddle, you look at him and you're like, man, he would buzzsaw through a lot of those guys. Not just in Undisputed Era, but in WWE. But what I don't need is Matt Riddle having to form a super team with the War Raiders and somebody, whoever's around at the time, like everybody does against Undisputed Era, instead of an equal group. Are there people you think just like WWE or more anti-WWE, like Ring of Honor, New Japan, and others? I feel like it isn't WWE and another promotion. I'm not sure what that question means, but if you're talking about people that like AEW because they're anti-WWE, yes, there sure are, and vice versa. I saw people immediately identifying All Elite Wrestling with white supremacy. Like, you'll see any kinds of dumb shit on the internet, man. Some potential New Japan talent to WWE. Who has made the wrong decision coming to WWE from New Japan in the last 5 years? Well, right off the bat, you gotta say Gallows and Anderson. Will it be a bad decision in the long run? Who knows? Because I don't know how much longer their run in New Japan would have been, but they've got 3 years out of WWE where they're not doing anything. They're making six figures. And if they leave, they have a ready-made promo. I don't think that he's not from New Japan, but Hideo Itami moving from Japan didn't work out. He didn't fit. He's not what WWE needs or wants, or he's not a good fit. He's great in Japan. He's just not great here. Who are your odds on favorite for WWE MVP 2019? Or who would you make the MVP if you were booking? Early on, I would say Sasha Banks and Bayley, because I think they can anchor that tag team division. I think that would be a good one. Ronda Rousey, because of how well she adapts to everything and how quickly that she has picked it up in the ring. Who had the Lamar Jackson moment of 2018 where they could have shined but stunk up the joint and got booed, literally or metaphorically? I think you got to put that on Baron Corbin, man. Baron Corbin was given an awful lot of shots, working with top talent, working in an authority figure role, working in a lot of high-profile situations, a lot of Raw main events. WWE likes him. He's a big dude. And for whatever reason, he can't flip that switch to where everybody cares about him. Now, I mean, you want to talk about being given a chance. The guy worked 160 matches in 2018. And some of those went from working like SmackDown. He worked all kinds of matches from like SmackDown Live mixed tags with Tamina to main events with AJ Styles and Sami Zayn and Finn Balor and all these people worked with a ton of dudes in the U.S. title picture. He was in WWE championship matches at house shows. He was in a lot of good positions, like, and he barely worked in April too. So when they were kind of getting that kicked off, but I just think that for whatever reason, he has not shined, and he's been working with John Cena on the house show loop. So I don't know if what that will do for him, but you could do a lot worse than working John Cena on this house show loop. But he's been given so many opportunities to get over, and it just hasn't happened. He sees boring as heat, and that's not the way that heat works in 2019. You can't go out there and just say, ha ha ha, you hate me because I'm boring and it's funny. That's not, he doesn't work with that. You think Kushida is WWE bound? I feel like he'd be a great fit for 205 Live. I do think he's 205 Live bound, and I think that's a good signing. And as far as New Japan, he wasn't going to get a big push as a heavyweight. And for 205 Live, he is an awesome fit. He will drag some people over. He's fantastic. He is a perfect fit for 205 Live and what they have there. He's not going to have to talk a lot. He is very gimmick-oriented. He's got a lot of charisma. He can work great. Since Britt Baker signed with AEW, this was obviously before AEW. This is why I told you guys, do not submit me AEW questions before the rally. There was a reason. This was the reason. Someone said, since Britt Baker signed with AEW, I was wondering if you had heard if Penelope Ford signed with NXT. If not, AEW should sign her. Yeah, they should. SRS, have you heard who will be on the JPW New Beginning shows? They announced those. I live in Nashville and want to go for sure, but I was wondering if Naito and Tanahashi would be on the shows or if it'd be mainly Young Lions. So the NJPW Nashville shows early on, it was said that it was going to be like Nagata and Kojima and some Young Lions is the rumor. That's what I had heard. I don't know if they had, I don't think they had announced those as of yet, but I think they're getting the opposite crew because Naito and Taichi and I think Okada, Tanahashi, Jay White, Bad Luck Fale, Evil, Zack Sabre Jr., all those guys are in Sapporo and, they're in Sapporo, February 2nd and 3rd. Unfortunately, I wanted to go too, but I'm not going to make that trip for not even a B squad, but like a D squad. Who do you think is in for a big year in WWE? Do you see anyone having a breakout year? Under the radar, the Revival, because I think WWE understands now they could lose these guys if they don't put some stock into the tag team division. But I say that all the time. I think they'll wake up and just have some major thing like that happen. Matt Riddle, that's the easy answer all the time. That's an easy answer. When I look at who on the WWE roster could break out that isn't obvious, a month ago I would have said Elias, but they're putting him in situations where he can't be what he should be. Ruby Riott could be one. She's one that has proven herself in the ring. Andrade Cien Almas is one. Mustafa Ali is a safe bet. I think that the Iconics, if given an opportunity, could fit into that role. Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose are all poised, I think, for good spots. Any ETA on when Alexa Bliss will be returning to the ring? I covered that in the Fightful report. Mark Henry said she's cleared. She's not taking bumps or anything like that yet. If you could pick the next top guy in WWE, who would you pick? Either Riddle, Strowman, or Rollins, right out of the gate. Seems like wrestler contracts all expire near or at the beginning of January. Is there a particular reason for this? Wouldn't it make sense for a company to stagger them a bit so they don't potentially lose a chunk all at once? In WWE, it varies. They try to go to people before their contracts are signed, and now they don't have the luxury of signing a bunch of people and bringing in like Mick Foley right after WrestleMania and all these other people right after WrestleMania like they did like in 96. Because ideally, you would want the contracts to end at the culmination of your wrestling year. That's what New Japan does. It culminates and expires at the end of their Wrestle Kingdom season. So, I mean, I think that, and Final Battle as well, because that's the end of their year. Impact, a lot of them don't have written agreements. So, it's hard to really determine there, but a lot of them were signed through the year as well. Impact, I don't understand. That didn't make a ton of sense, but I'm not privy to their contract situations either. Related to above, why don't companies negotiate with wrestlers before the expiration, sort of like how sports teams negotiate extensions? This pseudo offseason in wrestling with lots of transactions has been pretty fun, and will probably be even more fun when stuff comes out. Well, because a lot of those wrestlers don't have the ability to negotiate with other companies until their deal is up. They do have negotiation periods, and these companies do try to. WWE will try to get you to sign months and months and months ahead. Gone are the days of when somebody just forgets that your contract is expiring. They have people on that now. But there are some people who make the companies aware, I'm going to test my worth on the free market. How much control do WWE superstars have over their social media accounts? Does Becky Lynch have to get her tweets cleared before she posts? Do they get help from creative? They can get help from creative. They can get help from creative on almost anything. Becky Lynch doesn't have to get her tweets cleared. They are required to retweet some things, which they aren't necessarily happy about, but it's kind of part of the deal. Do you think Pete Dunne's time is up as UK champion? You could have said, is Pete's time done, John, at NXT TakeOver? I do. Just because he's held that title so long. And it's been sort of unceremonious to I don't want to say a casual audience, but a more streamlined audience. And I'm not calling it a bad title run or anything like that, but he's going to hit the 600-day mark, which is amazing. That's very, very cool. But, man, I think that you got to have somebody else there. Because so far, there are a lot of people who just identify Pete Dunne as champion. Some people forget that Tyler Bate was champion. Some people also don't necessarily pay that much attention because it's been a one-man show in their regard because you identify with the titles, but we'll see. Okay, SRS, you're Vince. I'm Kenny Omega. Thrill me. Why should I sign with WWE and please impress me? Money. Have you ever seen the skit in Tropic Thunder where Tom Cruise is the scummy exec and he's trying to get Matthew McConaughey to leave Ben Stiller out in the woods and he offers him like a G5 jet? That's all he's got. And some dream matches. That's what you have to offer. Dream matches, really nice travel accommodations, money. What is changing the wrestling economy relative to WWE? I don't think many guys or girls on that roster are hurting for money or leaving for more money. Seems like a headline more than a change. Yeah, that's pretty much the situation, but if you have fewer dates, more creative freedom, better creative guidance and just usage, and you can make that money, I'm telling you guys, making Britt Baker money is a thing in WWE. It will be, rather, I should say. It's going to be a thing here, and it's going to carry over into that. Britt Baker is going to be making a good salary from All Elite Wrestling. Oh, by the way, she gets afforded the ability to be a dentist while she does this. It's probably a six-figure salary, too. Her Lambo's going to be nicer than Adam Cole's. For a while, at least. I just think that's great. Good for her. Yeah, it is opportunity. Juice Robinson, for example. He wasn't on a big money deal with NXT. He saw an opportunity to really start over, and he had to gamble on himself. It worked. Cody Rhodes was not going to make more money than he did in WWE until he did. How about that? Doesn't always work. Look at Ryback. SRS, I was wondering if you knew ballpark how much the cons have invested to get AEW up. Also, if they're spending money like it appears, do you think there's a chance they could try to sign Okada or Naito away from New Japan? Are their contracts up anytime soon? Don't know if their contracts are anytime up or anytime soon, but there are rumors. Rumors, not confirmed, $100 million. I don't know if that's true or not. I would be shocked if it was. Okada, yeah, I do think that they could sign him away because he doesn't get along with Harold. Oh, Harold Meij. Do you see any possible way a Bischoff, Russo, or even Matt Hardy get involved in AEW? Bischoff, possibly as a consultant. Russo, about a 0.5% chance. And Matt Hardy, definitely. I definitely think Matt Hardy could get involved. Realistically speaking, what happens when Roman Reigns returns? Of course, people would be happy at first to see he's okay. That doesn't mean they will accept Roman back in the title picture, does it? I think they'll be more accepting of it. Get a break from him. They can't push him the way that they wanted to push him. He has to be more on the plane. If Dusty was still alive today, does any of this even happen? If so, does Dusty go along with Cody or does he stay at NXT? Ah, man, that's a great question. I think that Dusty would probably stick with WWE and then eventually it would kind of not work out and then he would end up joining. But I think Dusty would have tried to stay with WWE at first while advising his son to leave because he's not going to bullshit you about that. Is the AEW show in May so they can buy time to get a TV deal? If no TV deal, can they survive with pay-per-views every other month? TNA got started this way, but I think their pay-per-views were $10 and weekly. Okay, so NWA TNA didn't have a TV deal at all. They didn't have the digital reach of AEW. TNA had weekly pay-per-views on Wednesday for $10 with cards that, quite frankly, sucked. Sucked. The AEW pay-per-view in May, I'm sure they're trying to put together a TV deal. Yeah. But right now, I would see that as the launch of All Elite Wrestling. All In was the pilot. I see All Elite Wrestling's Double or Nothing as the launch of it. That's what's going to kick everything off. So when that goes down, I see if they don't have a TV deal by then, I wonder when or if they'll get it. If I am a TV company, now I don't know how much money you pour into it, but if I'm a TV company, I give them a time slot. If I'm WGN or TNT, I take that. I try to make this happen. I don't know why you wouldn't if you saw the buzz. Is it so they can buy time? Yeah, I think it is, but I don't think they were going to announce something WrestleMania weekend. I mean, my God, they've got the Madison Square Garden show that weekend, NXT that weekend. You have the Janela Spring Break. Wouldn't shock me to see some of those guys show up on Janela Spring Break. They should. They should do their boy a solid. Austin Gunn posted on Instagram he's signing somewhere really soon. Said it isn't AEW. Do you have any idea where? I don't, but he's got some potential. He's actually worth keeping your eye on, in my estimation. He's got good body language. He's got good instincts. He is really a lot like his dad. Not as athletic, not as jacked or anything, but yeah. In your eyes, SRS, who will be the biggest regret for WWE, Cody or Jericho? Cody. Cody is starting up a full company. Jericho is just a part of it. Jericho will work another WWE match in his career, I think. I don't know if Cody will or not. I had heard that Cody kind of joked with people that talked to him that if it doesn't work out, he can always go back to WWE. When it came down to the final decisions for Cody, his gimmick change, and Jericho, the Cruz and NXT talent, do you think that was just a Vince alone choice, or do you think Triple H had a say in it as well? I think it was more than Vince, but if Vince says, yes, Chris Jericho, you can have NXT talent on your cruise, it's happening. If Vince McMahon says, yes, Cody, you can change your gimmick. You don't have to be Stardust anymore. You can be Cody Rhodes on our television show. Then he gets to be that. He gets to do what he wants. Ultimately, it is on Vince. Vince has veto power over everything. Will Pac slash Neville eventually be the biggest ball that was dropped by WWE when it comes to AEW? I'm not calling that a drop ball. Neville wasn't happy there. For whatever reason, he wasn't happy there. WWE, as I've said before, wanted 205 Live to be really good and special. They wanted it to be their third main roster brand. They wanted it to be at the point where it ran live events. They wanted it to be the point where they could get on TV even. They had Enzo Amore, one of the most charismatic wrestlers in that company there. He got along with Neville great. They were buddies. Neville, one of the greatest wrestlers in the world on that show. They had Austin Aries there, a former world champion in other companies, on that show. They had a lot of juice that they were putting into that company. Hideo Itami, who was a big signing for them at one point. They put him on that show. They gave these guys main event segments on Raw. They gave a lot of these people a lot of time on Raw. And a lot of them messed up. And the Rich Swann situation happened. I've echoed this story time and time again because when I asked, they were like, man, people there were like, we're trying, man. We want it to work. You don't put those three guys. You don't put Austin Aries, Neville, and Enzo on a show unless you want it to work. It just so happened that all three of those guys dipped out. If AEW does become a legit number two within the next 2 or 3 years, why would anyone jump ship to go to WWE? Money, and a lot of people just want to work for WWE. I know a lot of people who have passed up better creative offers and similar money just to go to WWE or bigger companies. Who will be the first AEW men's champion, women's champion, and tag team champs? Well, I don't think the first men's champion can be Cody or the Young Bucks. I think it should be Pac. The first women's champion should be Britt Baker. And the first tag team champions, I think it'll be one of the teams from OWE. Would there be a secondary title for AEW, and what do you think it should be or would be? Ooh, I don't know what it would be. You can't do a TV title today. You've already got a United States title. You got an Intercontinental title. You got the national title. I think you should do something different. Do something that NWA, Ring of Honor, New Japan, WWE, all those people aren't doing. You can't do a cruiserweight title because so many people are going to be under the cruiserweight limit on that show, and there's nothing wrong with that, despite what some doofuses will say. Nothing wrong with that at all. That's a nice one. So the Jaguars want to run a show in London, you could do a European title and try to set up some European shows. You could do a one like that. That's another fantastic question. John Baez on fire here. Can't do a Legends title like TNA did. That sucked. Can't do an internet title because then it doesn't make sense to necessarily defend it on television. Let me ponder on that. If you're Impact Wrestling, what do you do? God, if you're a responsible person in Impact Wrestling, you realize that it's not a good idea and you try to cut your losses. But, Impact Wrestling is dug so far in a hole, I don't know what they can do. They've built up so much bad will. I don't know. Do you feel like any of the newer talent that just recently signed with WWE regret signing with them now? If I'm Deonna, I would have probably signed with All Elite when everything was said and done because Marty might go there and the money might be better, but no, I don't think any of them regret it. They might in a couple years, but not now. If Kenny does sign with AEW, would it be a multi-year deal or a yearly deal? I would imagine a multi-year deal. If AEW starts hot, which is likely, but also is a good TV channel, do you think it could be a catalyst for Vince to step down? Or is it more likely he doubles down and running things? I think he doubles down. That's Vince, man. Triple H is savvy enough to know guys like Gallows and Anderson Balor are good enough to be over and deserving Should he step up and start talking for these guys or speaking with board members regarding Vince not being best for business? No, because Vince can knock him off his perch really quickly. You brought up that they should talk to CM Punk. Would there be any chance of AJ Lee being involved if they get Punk? Maybe as a valet, I don't know if she would be interested in wrestling. It'd be a good big get if they could, even for an appearance. AJ Lee has a lot of friends in WWE still, by the way. If AEW is handing out big money deals and Omega is turning down big money from WWE, then I'd assume AEW is confident of a TV deal. Have you heard who they're talking to? Haven't heard, but common sense says TNT and WGN. That's common sense. It's speculatory. If I'm Triple H or other members of WWE Creative who aren't Vince or Dunn, I'm booking the likes of Revival, Balor, Club, Nakamura a lot better and in bigger angles very quickly. Who should WWE try to sign to new long-term deals ASAP? If you mean outside the company, you got to assess who the free agents are because there's not going to be a lot out there. They're not. But WWE has such a full cupboard right now that I think they can step back and focus on people who show potential. Who would you book in said hot angles going forward in 2019 who aren't doing much currently and how? Bayley and Sasha Banks because of their followings, Revival because of their ability, Balor and the Club because of their history. When do you expect Tuesday Night Dynamite to begin airing? Probably later this year. Summer, fall. Would CM Punk and Omega be enough to worry WWE along with a roster of young, talented guys? Worry? No. Pay attention? Yes, they're already paying attention. Will any of the Elite work the MSG show as a one-shot deal? Seems weird that they won't work it, as you have to think they're a big part of them selling out so quickly. Marty Scurll? I think that's it. Who ends up going to WWE first, Scurll or Pentagon Phoenix? Not anytime soon, just generally first. Scurll has the ability to first. When AEW does become a huge success and is a legit threat ratings-wise, do you see them challenging Raw on Monday nights or do they stay on Tuesdays? I'd say Tuesdays. Let's stir the pot a little here. What would it take for AEW to not succeed, not getting a TV deal? With AEW likely to be a hot start and seemingly bit... I think I just answered that one. Will the AEW deal force Sinclair to make more of an effort to how it promote for how it promotes Ring of Honor, given their reach and backing, or do they just have it as a plaything? It makes money, so I think they're going to keep it as is unless it stops making money. Do you think Impact will be more successful on Pursuit and Twitch than on Pop TV? I've seen a number of fans support the idea as they can watch it anywhere more easily. From a viewership standpoint, yes, it will do better on Twitch and Pursuit, I believe, because Twitch can be seen anywhere, and if you really want to hunt down Pursuit, you can. Also, their numbers on Pop TV were utter garbage. So yeah, I think that they'll do probably more on Twitch. Will they do better from an advertising standpoint? I don't know. Some of those loyal fans are more likely to tip on Twitch if that is an option, but I think they'll be more visible on Twitch. There's no reason to not catch the show now. Same with Ring of Honor. Their show is online all the time because they're owned by the broadcast group that syndicates them. So there's no reason people can't watch their show. Thank you guys so much. Remember, you all get unlimited questions when you all are asking away here. So make sure you guys get your money's worth, my friends. Thank you all so much. We're out.